On the line, as we do on a Friday afternoon, we have the executive producer of Optus Sport, Richard Bayliss, here to talk all things football and, of course, all things UEFA Nations League and international matches. And as we are all aware, you can catch all the UEFA Nations League and international matches live and exclusive on Optus Sport. Richard, welcome to you.
Hello, Rick. Hello, Damon. How are you, boys?
Very well, thank you. Here, Richard, let's start with the overnight results. Now, we'll be very, very brief with these ones. League C has more or less, or Pot C has more or less been determined in our eyes, with Portugal having a 3-2 away win over Poland. How far can this Portuguese team go when you really, really think about it and the quality that they have at their disposal, even without Cristiano Ronaldo in that outfit?
Well, I think they're a team that continues to get results, even when you think maybe they can't. I mean, the Euros is a perfect example of, obviously, they were far from the most compelling, yet they ended up winning the tournament 2 years ago in France. And while they didn't have a great World Cup, I think they've gone from strength to strength since. I mean, not having Ronaldo, yeah, in the eyes of many, you're losing one of the greatest players of all time. But also, there's the argument that you free up a lot of other players, and young players come in with less pressure to get the ball to Ronaldo and play through him. And we've certainly seen that the last couple of games. They were far too good for Italy in their first game, and they could have beaten Poland this morning by a few more. I thought they were really impressive in what was arguably the best Nations League game we've seen so far, for them to win 3-2. And as you say, it kind of means that group is almost done. In fact, if Italy and Poland in a couple of days' time draw, that will mean that Portugal are the first team through to the Nations League finals. And given that whoever wins that group will host, Portugal could very well win the tournament because they might end up winning the finals in June. So they've gone from surprise winners of the Euros to potentially, at the moment, the favourite to win the Nations League.
Hey, Richard, it's Damon here. Rick and I were speaking a little earlier on Ronaldo not being in the team and whether that can actually be a benefit to Portugal, because when you have a player like Ronaldo who's at that level and that much better than the rest of the team, you put so much work into going through him, but when he's not in the team, your team can appear more balanced. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's been a talking point, certainly, the last couple of match days for us. And we had the privilege of having Didi Haman on the couch with us this morning in the studio. And he was fully in agreement with that. You know, the point he made, which I think is really interesting, is that if you've got young players that are making their debut or inexperienced, they're just playing, you know, one of their early matches, they will have this thought that they get the ball, they look up, they need to find Ronaldo. You know, there's all that, almost that pressure to find him. And if they don't, are they annoying him? You know, he's the captain, he's their best player, the talisman. So automatically it makes players, particularly young players, sort of play a team game as opposed to an individual one. But also, tactically, I think that they're far less direct at the moment as well. They seem to be playing some really nice football. They've got a front three, the three silvers, as they were this morning, who sort of a lot of movement, shorter passes, and they're far less direct. I mean, we saw a great direct goal, Ruben Neves, you know, fantastic pass, but that was a bit of an outlier. I think generally they played far better football than that, put the ball on the floor and moved it around. So, you know, the style's even very, very different. So if that's an indication as to how they're going to be once Ronaldo goes in 2, 3, 5 years' time, whenever it is, I think they're in pretty good shape.
What did you think of that other result, the 0-0 Russia-Sweden? It could have been a potential semi-final at the FIFA World Cup had results actually gone either way or gone the way that they could have possibly gone. Sweden do look like a little bit of a team that might be starting to fall from grace, whereas Russia, for me, Sergei Cherchesov, the coach, has pretty much said, well, we're going to play more or less five at the back, we're going to defend for our lives, and then if we can get forward, we might use an Anton Zhuba or a Denis Cheryshev to maybe get on the score sheet. Do you think that might be the right approach in the UEFA Nations League, considering how cagey that group is?
Yeah, it's potentially, it can be seen as a little bit cynical, I'd say, from Cherchesov, but that's the way they've played over a couple of years now, really, and he knows what he has at his disposal. You've got to remember, before the World Cup, all the Russian public wanted Cherchesov out, and they also weren't happy with the team at all. So it's amazing how quickly things can change in football. You know, going into that game, you would say, well, Russia, on the back of that home match in Kaliningrad, you know, they should potentially take the game to Sweden. But, you know, it's also an indication of how quickly a team like Sweden can fall, because they've now lost four games straight, if you include the World Cup quarterfinal. So they've gone from World Cup quarterfinalists to a side bereft of ideas, pretty much. That's how they look at the moment. as well. So I think the benefit of the Nations League as a competition is that most matches should be tight. You know, you're always playing against teams of your same kind of standing. Mm. It means that every now and then you'll get a nil all and teams that just cancel each other out. But it means that, generally speaking, you know, the teams are of a similar quality and you're not getting the blowout scores, which, as we've seen in that one, didn't necessarily play out from a neutral's point of view, but at least it shows that the matchups are generally pretty tight.
Another game this morning was Serbia over Montenegro. Serbia getting the win at 2-0. Mitrovic with a double. Obviously, he's been in great form for Fulham in the Premier League. Is he a player that can take Serbia, firstly, to League B in the Nations League, but also to the next level?
Yeah, I think Serbia are a very good outfit. I think they, you know, in the eyes of many, they probably underachieved at the World Cup. They were under the radar going in, so maybe the expectations weren't overly high. But, you know, in Mitrovic, they have someone that, if he's given the right defence, which he isn't at the moment against for Fulham, who are shipping in goals for fun, you know, he's the sort of player that can pop up and make a difference. And it shows the effect of a player in form as well, in terms of taking the momentum from your club into country. I mean, that was a fascinating matchup, Serbia against Montenegro, in any sense, in a very difficult group as well. But no, I think you're right. I think they can go and achieve great things. I mean, they're the sort of team you would look at and say they wouldn't look out of place in League A. I mean, we're going to have some big, high-profile teams drop out of League A. You know, Italy is a good chance. Netherlands or Germany could drop out. And Serbia, no one would argue with them being in the top group next time the competition rolls around.
Do you reckon, just briefly, do you reckon they could get there in about 2 to 3 years' time?
I think so, yeah, 100%. I mean, they're in a group that they can get through. And what will happen is that, you know, obviously you go, if you win each group or subgroup, you just go up a league. So it means that I think we'll see some really weird kind of teams in weird leagues in a couple of years, because whatever happens this time is where they'll seed or place for the next Nations League. But so much can change between now and then in qualifying for tournaments or not. So I think as time goes on, I think you'll see a lot of kind of banana skin fixtures and matchups that aren't as close, which, you know, at the moment it makes sense based on rankings, but I think we'll see some interesting ups and downs or promotion relegation as the competition goes on.
Well, let's speak of some of these fixtures that are coming up, as you did touch on. And, of course, you can watch all the action from the UEFA Nations League and international matches live and exclusive on Optus Sport. Let's touch on one of the two big games of this weekend, Belgium versus Switzerland. Now, both teams are also in the same group with Iceland. Both teams very comfortably dispatched of that European nation. How do you see this one going? Because both teams obviously made the World Cup. Belgium went, well, to third place and have all that attacking talent. But Switzerland are all about that rock-solid defence under Vladimir Petkovic.
Yeah, they are. Switzerland have really surprised me, actually, because, you know, that 6-0 scoreline against Iceland came out of nowhere, seemingly. You wouldn't expect them to put six against anyone. But I feel like it might have said more about Iceland than Switzerland. So they're maybe slightly harder to judge at the moment than Belgium. Belgium, I sort of feel like they haven't dipped at all since the World Cup. If anything, they've kind of improved. A couple of wins since, they absolutely smashed Scotland. So this one at the moment, you've got a team in Belgium who have won 16 out of 18 matches, which is a crazy feat at international level when you consider some of the matches they've played in a World Cup. So I think Belgium would be looking at this tournament and saying, this is a really good stepping stone to either the Euros or a World Cup. You know, a lot of people thought maybe they'd peaked or had wasted their peak, if you like, at the World Cup by not going on with it after making the semis. But I actually think they're getting stronger. So I think Belgium, it won't be a landslide, but I think Belgium will be comfortable in this one.
Could you see maybe someone like an Eden Hazard, maybe even Yuri Tillemans, if he is chosen to play by Martinez, maybe even Lukaku being the one to break down that Swiss defence?
I think so. I think the form that Hazard's in at the moment, you wouldn't put anything past him. They've got a wonderfully creative midfield as well. I mean, you mentioned Tielemans. He's someone that hasn't been assured of a starting spot, yet we all know his quality. I think, you know, Hazard and Lukaku combine really well at that level. Lukaku is a completely different player for Belgium because, you know, they're so much more open and free-flowing than Manchester United. So you see the effect of a big number nine who's crucial and deadly inside that 6 and 18-yard box. So, yeah, I can see those guys completely dismantling Switzerland. Whether or not it's a landslide, I'd be doubtful of that, given, as you mentioned, Switzerland are quite solid. I just don't think at the other end Switzerland will have enough to take advantage of the game opening up. I think Belgian pressure will see a result for those guys.
Moving on to Croatia and England now. Of course, a replay of sorts of the World Cup semi-final in Russia, where Croatia got the win 2-1. This game will be played behind closed doors, no spectators at all. Do you feel England wish to make amends for their World Cup defeat?
You would think so. I think that's a way the players would be motivated going into this one, knowing that they can at least psychologically kind of break down that barrier that they came up against in Moscow just a few months ago. It has to be said, I mean, it will be a completely different looking game. I mean, both sides, Croatia, have seen a couple of guys retire from the World Cup. And then we've seen England. Gareth Southgate hasn't been scared to name 7 or 8 debutants over the last couple of match days. So, you know, I think we'll see some exciting young players from England. Jadon Sancho has been killing it for Borussia Dortmund of late. And James Maddison's really exciting too for Leicester at the moment. So hopefully we see those guys, we see some fresh blood. But it's going to be weird, isn't it? I mean, playing in front of an empty stadium, just not having that atmosphere. And, you know, Croatia have done it before. This is their fourth and final game of that ban. So maybe they'll be more used to the idea of playing in front of no one. But as a spectacle, while I'm pretty excited for the football, and most people should be given what's on show, I'm worried about that spectacle. I think it will be really unique and very, very different for the players.
One player you mentioned, Jadon Sancho, he's absolutely flourishing with Borussia Dortmund in the Bundesliga at the age of just 18. Do you think more young English players should look at making the move to continental Europe to further development rather than remaining in England where they might struggle for game time?
Oh, 100%. It's something we haven't seen for a long time. I mean, you go back to the 80s, you know, there were guys, you know, Jelinekas that were looking to continental football as an option. But since then, it's very, very rare unless players at the end of their career. I mean, Sancho's obviously very young. He's been advised well and gone over to a league in the Bundesliga, which has given him an opportunity for at a top club, which you just don't get in England. You know, the top 4 or 6 clubs, you know, they're stacked full of international talent. And it's very difficult for young English players to get the game time they need. I mean, you look at someone like Phil Foden for Manchester City at the moment. He might feature for England. He might play more minutes for England than he's played for City or across all seasons. So, you know, that's the challenge they're up against. You know, you love to see them go and take on other leagues and come through that way. I think it'd be a really interesting experiment to see whether, first of all, whether Sancho stays in Germany or in the continent, but also whether other players take the lead. And certainly they should, I reckon.
I'd like to get your opinion on this one, Richard. There were some comments made by the Croatia coach, Zlatko Dalic, and obviously the Ballon d'Or possible recipient in Luka Modric over the last couple of days, where they were speaking about that night that they remember against England in Russia, the hype from the media that really came out, the I'm coming home chants and all that sort of stuff. But they also spoke about how a lot of people really didn't rate Croatia or didn't think that they were going to be good enough against England. Do you think that might be the motivation that gets Croatia over the line rather than the fact that they are playing against England in an empty, closed stadium?
It could be. I know it definitely motivated them going into that semi-final. And Zlatko Dalic did very well to use those tactics, given that that team at the time were very, well, should have been tired. I don't think they were tired, but of course they played 3 games going into extra time. And the fact they were able to fight back having gone behind in that semi-final is still one of the most remarkable things. I mean, having been at that ground in the stadium, I remember leaving there incredibly impressed with Croatia's guts. And, you know, I'm not too sure whether they use that going into this one. I mean, certainly they'll have to find everything they can. I mean, their home ground advantage is essentially gone. And also they're coming off the back of that 6-0 defeat to Spain. So I'm not sure whether they would dare look so far into the past. I think, you know, they've had enough scares since that point in losing the World Cup final, then being smashed in the last Nations League game, that I'm not so sure they can afford to focus on those things. But Dalic has proven himself before to be a good motivator when you know, the odds are against Croatia. So, you know, maybe they do use that.
One team that will need to obviously improve after their match day one draw that was against France at home in Germany has to be Damenschaft. Lucky Lowe's position could be on a knife's edge all of a sudden should they lose to the Netherlands over this match day. Am I being a bit too dramatic there, Richard?
I don't think so. No, I think you're spot on because, you know, again, Didier Hamann this morning was really interesting on Jogi Löw. He believes that if results don't come in the next couple of weeks, he'll be out. He'll be gone. You know, I mean, obviously, a nil-all draw against France in the first game, it's not a result to be sniffed at. They could have won that, had the opportunity. But I think it's a lot of the off-field situation that's happening around Germany at the moment. You know, there's a sideshow with a few of the players. Obviously, Ozil's left, and there's a divide between the senior players and the youngsters. And the word is that that was created by the coach. So, you know, if there's the perception that that stuff still exists and they're not getting the results, he'll certainly be under pressure. And there are fears, I think, going to a place like the Netherlands where, you know, the Dutch have proven of late that they're finding some good young players. And I really like De Jong in their midfield against France. And I think they've got some players who are hungry to bring Dutch football back to where it, you know, arguably should be. So I think they can potentially worry about this one. And then going to France in Paris, of course, on Tuesday or Wednesday as well, I think that's a worry for them. But, you know, I think France are another side that you can look at and say, well, what's their motivation? You know, they almost lost to Iceland this morning. They're essentially on a World Cup victory tour at the moment. Maybe Germany can take advantage of that because, you know, as you say, you can't. When it comes to Germany, there are absolutely no excuses for not getting those results.
Poland come up against Italy in what will likely be a relegation battle in Group C of League A. Who do you feel has more to lose here? Is it Poland, who were a seeded nation at the World Cup but ultimately disappointed? Or is it Mancini's Italy, who missed the World Cup altogether and are desperate to return to the top of international football?
I think it's going to be a long road for Italy, regardless of what happens in this game and even the Nations League, because they're a long way away. I fear for Roberto Mancini. If they don't get a result here, they have a poor couple of days. His days might be limited as well. I mean, his players, they're just not at the standard. He's, you know, giving debuts to guys that have barely played minutes in Serie A. So, you know, they're in a really low position at the moment, and you can't really see a place on the horizon where Italian football is strong again. We know that it will be. There's no doubt about it. But certainly on the short term, it's hard to see it. I think Poland, they'll be seen as outsiders, you know, in this group. And for them, it's almost a bit of a free swing. They had an amazing crowd this morning, and I think they'll have the support behind them to get past Italy. But if they don't, I'm not so sure it will send the shockwaves around world football as it will when, you know, the words Italy and relegated, you know, are in the same sentence.
Don't break my heart, Richard. Don't break my heart. Could you see Piatek getting on the score sheet against the nation in which he plays his football?
He will. I'd like to put money on it, given that he scored this morning and his goal-scoring record for Genoa so far is remarkable. 13 goals in 8, scored in every single match he's played in through his new club. And having seemingly come from the clouds, he was playing in Poland just last season. He's 23, so, I mean, it's not even like...